Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. Right Choice Services develops individualized programs to help clients find the book inside of them that they've always wanted to write. I'm Vanessa Lauer, your host for today's show. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the writing they engage in as part of their work. We have a full house today. I'm joined in the studio by regular host, Dr. Tim Morrison. Good morning, Dr. Tim.
Good morning, Vanessa.
And we're actually sharing a little microphone because we've got so many people in the studio.
Well, Andy said that he didn't need it, but I knew better, so here we go.
Okay. So we're also joined by Andy Lowe, who's the co-host and producer for Right Here, Right Now, and he's got his own show, Renegade Radio. Morning, Andy.
Good morning. Now, he's willing to hand the microphone over when we're doing the intros, but let's see how it goes through the interview.
I know.
I'm betting this is the last you hear from me today.
I'm going to see a little wrestling going over there, a little arm wrestling as you all are changing the microphone back and forth.
Yeah, but you know, the way I know that he wants to ask a question is he sits up straight and goes into the mic. Now, if he does that today, we got other issues.
Well, it's fun to be in the studio with both of you, and then we've got three guests in the studio today. We have Jennifer Moore, Debbie Fitzgerald, and Ed Van Herrick, all entrepreneurs who are in the midst of writing a book while they run their individual businesses. So this is going to be fun to talk to them about how they juggle all of that. We're going to find out the challenges they faced in crafting their manuscripts while they juggle everything that has to go on with running a small business and keeping the clients happy and bringing in new clients and all of that. So we're going to talk to Jennifer first. Jennifer Moore is the managing partner of Isis Consulting. She recently left her professorship at Kennesaw State University to work more closely with her clients and also to write. Jennifer is involved with the Georgia chapter of the National Association of Social Workers and was named Woman of the Year in 2008 by the City of Atlanta for the work she did with people experiencing homelessness and the Katrina evacuees. Welcome, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
So tell us a little bit about Isis Consulting and the type of work you do and the type of clients you work with.
Sure. Isis is an Egyptian goddess, as I'm sure that you know, but it's for me, it is an acronym for Inspiring Solutions and Service. So my mission is to inspire solutions in the community, whether that be with individuals or with organizations or with communities, through engaging you through service. And what does that service look like for you as an individual, personally and professionally? So I do a lot of training in organizations, and I also have a private practice, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I do coaching, life coaching, and counseling.
So, Jennifer, what kind of writing do you normally do for your business? I know that you have a lot of different segments of your business that you go after. So what types of writing do you do?
So in the past, I have done lots of newsletters. I'm the past president for the NASW of Georgia, which is National Association of Social Work. So I've written all of the newsletters for the past 2 years. And before that, I was just doing small little articles for the newsletter. And now I've started a blog post. My blog post comes out of my training that I've developed. I've developed several different training academies that are leadership training programs for service providers in the field. So some of the work that I did with the Katrina evacuees and with the homeless programs were very successful, and some of the other agencies started asking, what are you doing? How are you doing it? So based on that, I developed a curriculum to train the other case managers and frontline service workers so that they could use that training, thus having casting my vision and having a broader influence.
So you obviously have some experience writing with different things, and I know we met a couple of months ago and you were describing several different book ideas that you have that you were ready to get started on as soon as you kind of got finished being a professor. So
yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what those book ideas are?
Sure. One of them is based on the curriculum that I have been working on for the past couple of years, which is 7 Pillars to Success. And it's based on leadership, about having the vision that is based on the values, knowing what your purpose is and following through on that purpose with intention. And what does that look like for you? How can you be a catalyst in your own life and in the community and being of service to others? And how do we know when we are collaborating effectively and efficiently? Are there better ways to do it? And the final pillar is about balance and knowing that there is no free lunch, there's a give and take with everything, and how do we continue to create balance? And balance looks different every day, every week, in every situation. And what does that look like?
So the seven pillars is one of the ideas. Do you want to describe one of the other ideas?
Sure. One of the other ones is a self-help and spirituality book, which is actually a rewrite from an old book, and how to apply those life lessons from Khalil Gibran, the prophet. So what does a modern-day prophet look like, and how to use those life lessons today, here and now? Because obviously that book was written thousands of years ago, but it's some of the same truths that we experience on a daily basis.
Isn't it amazing how we think, you know, we think that we have all the answers in our time frame,
right?
But then when you look back at things that were written hundreds and thousands of years ago, how many things still apply? It's still, like, oh my gosh, our life is so different than it was then.
Right. All right. We have more gadgets and more distractions, but the truths are the same.
So how have you... where are you in the process of writing these manuscripts, and how have you decided which one to pursue first, or are you doing them both at the same time?
I'm doing them both at the same time.
Wow.
I have a lot of energy, and so that energy has to be funneled somewhere. And so I have found that just focusing on one subject does not suit my personality very well. And so I have used old project management skills that I had to develop over the years in different positions that I've held into how to manage this writing process. So the seven pillars for me was the easiest to put together because I've already developed that curriculum. I already have all the exercises. I already had it all in PowerPoint.
Right.
And so now it's putting them into essays, blog forms, and then developing that manuscript form. So that's the easiest. So that was the one that I started on immediately. And then the second one is, it's taken me a little more time. And so I'm working on one essay at a time. And what does self-knowledge look like? What does raising our children look like? Which has been very engaging for me personally, because I also am raising a child and having to apply some of those lessons that our children are not our children. They are life longing to express itself. So as my son was writing his paper, saving it on the jump drive this morning at 7:49 to just let go and allow him to express himself. So some of those life lessons that I'm learning as I'm writing.
So you mentioned that you use your time management skills. Do you segment a time every day that you're going to write, or do you have certain times during the week that you write, or how are you managing that into your schedule?
So as I said, balance looks different every day and every week. I do schedule my time, and I'm very intentional about how I schedule my time and very purpose-driven. So every Friday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, and sometimes I have to do that both, I plan for the next week. So what does Monday look like, Tuesday? And so I spend a lot of my time planning rather than that crisis intervention and got to go on the run. And I plan time for the things that are going to come in between, because I do have the business. So an example, yesterday I had scheduled time for my writing and I had a crisis call that I had to go on. And so I have scheduled time to make that up.
Well, that's good to know. So what are you finding that's one or more of your challenges in writing your books?
My biggest challenge, again, the energy thing that I have a lot of, is being able to focus that energy. So I can have that scheduled time to sit down and to do my writing when there is nothing else on the agenda, but to force myself to sit there, even if the ideas aren't flowing freely, but to sit there, because I want to always be very efficient with my time, and there's always 30 other things to do. If the ideas aren't flowing freely, then it's very challenging for me to continue to sit there rather than get up and go do something that I know I could do and complete the task.
Right.
At the end of the day, I want to look at what have I achieved, my checklist, and if I didn't write 6 pages, then what have I done today? So to sit there and focus, even whenever there's a 2-hour block of time or a 3-hour block of time, if the ideas aren't coming freely.
Well, and I think every entrepreneur that listens to this can relate to, there's always 30 other things that you could be doing, because it's really never ending as an entrepreneur, which is a blessing.
And a
curse.
Exactly.
So what impact do you think writing a book is going to have on your business?
I hope that it will continue to inspire the solutions that people know that there are solutions. At the foundation, I believe that there's a spiritual solution to every problem, which is a book that Wayne Dyer wrote years ago that had a great impact on my life. And I believe that when we are engaged in service to others, that solutions always come. And I'm hoping that my book will inspire that idea in people and to cast that vision of having a bigger idea of what the possibilities are, because I do believe there are infinite possibilities for all of us. And when we reach in there and can we tap that and become that catalyst in our lives, that engaging in service with others and what that looks like for people.
Well, and you are such a planner. And so do you have an idea in mind of when you'd like to have your books completed?
By the end of the year. Okay. That's my goal, is to have both of those two initial ones will be done by the end of the year.
So, Dr. Tim, I see you're wanting to say something because you're laughing in the background. So,
do you mean as in hold in your hand, done?
No. Just okay. My manuscripts ready. I'm sorry. My manuscripts will be ready to hand off to publisher. Editing will be completed. My part will be finished for the editing and the publishing piece.
That's confidence.
Yeah.
And dogged determination. She'll do it.
I was going to say, I think she's going to do it.
You'll bet on her, won't you?
I will. Yeah. She's a woman that gets things done.
If I say it out loud, my word makes it so. And there seems to be people witnessing. So. This is definitely creating a whole new level of accountability.
Well, your best friend and your worst enemy will say, let's go listen to that interview again. And
that's
you
right.
See right there. At 11 minutes into the show, you said...
I did.
So, Dr. Tim, do you have any suggestions for Jennifer?
Well, I'm obvious, yes. But I'm just sitting here relishing what you shared. You don't look old enough, nearly old enough, to really enjoy and appreciate Gibran. That was more my generation. And I've got a shelf full of his books. I love The Prophet. When I was in ministry, I would oftentimes, to the dismay of the people, use one of his writings as the text for the day. Mm-hmm. So I really commend you for what you're trying to do with that. Another one of his books that I like is called A Tear and a Smile. And then he has one that is all about different people encountering Jesus and sharing those stories. I think there's a great market for what you've got going, and you probably do too, or you wouldn't be doing it. In terms of advice, I wrote down butt glue, liberally applied, and firmly sat upon.
I like that. I've heard of butt paste, but I didn't know about butt glue. We're going to have to market that.
There's a book, one of the Chicken Soup for the Soul book is all around writers and what they've done. And this guy was running a marathon, and he picked out a runner that he thought he could really get the better of, and so that would help him get to the end of the line. And they both turned out to be writers. And so the guy who's writing the article said, I thought I'd be really smart with him and say, so what's the secret to success in writing? Thinking that there's no real right answer. And the guy said, butt glue. And it blew the runner away.
Yeah,
he
I'm
said
sure.
It was so true.
Because I'm also training for a marathon, so it's very easy for me to create that excuse for myself that I should go run. I have a training run.
Well, then you need to talk to Andy. Should I send the mic over to you now, Andy? He is an Ironman guy.
I did my first half Ironman last summer. It was definitely one of my greatest accomplishments, one that I really didn't know if I was going to be able to complete. But the day I completed that was the day that I knew that I could complete my book.
There you could. Well, what I want to commend you for is you know what it takes for you to write. But for those who are listening in, I want to share that if you don't have those hours that you devote or that you can find, it's all right to do it in bits and snippets. You know, this morning before I came over to the studio, I spent about 20 minutes on a book that I'm co-authoring right now. And last night I threw in 45 minutes because I just was sitting there waiting for something to do. And I can't remember the name of the book, but there was a gentleman back in the late 90s who wrote a book about General Motors and the manufacturing, and he was a union guy on the line, and he wrote his book, which became a best-selling book, a literal honest to God real best-selling book. He wrote it during his lunch break and his coffee breaks and when he went home at night. So the key really to writing is for people to find out what works for them, what's the pace that works for them.
That's great advice. And I had a friend tell me that he had written one of his books on planes. He was traveling a lot doing sales.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that every time he would get on the plane, that that's when he would write and waiting for the, you know, you spend a lot of time in airports.
That's a whole lot better way to spend time than a lot of us do. Right. Like, and when will that plane get here?
That's right. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, Jennifer, it's been great talking to you. So can you share with our listeners your contact information and how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. Jennifer at IsisConsultingLLC.com is my website. Jennifer at IsisConsultingLLC.com is my email as well. So you can email me, or my phone number is 404-272-6922.
Great. Well, we're going to talk to our other guests, and if we have time, we're going to open the mics for everybody.
Right.
So
thank
if you can
so
hang
much.
Out with us in the studio,
sure.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Thank you. So now we're going to talk to PR entrepreneurs. Debbie Fitzgerald is the president of Fitzgerald PR, and Ed Van Herrick is the founder of Van Herrick Communications. They are writing a book together, so we're going to talk to them together. So welcome to Debbie and Ed.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm going to ask questions, and then we can just, both of you can answer, because I'm sure you both have a little bit different perspective on the answers. It's always interesting to me with collaborative things. You know, I think people are always going to see things from my point of view, and they don't, which is really kind of refreshing. It's like, wow, look at that. They think of it differently. So I'd like for each of you to describe your company and the type of work that you do and the type of clients that you work with. So, Debbie, do you mind going first?
Oh, sure. pardon me. Well, my company is Fitzgerald PR Incorporated, and my husband and I own the business, and we've been doing this for about 10 years coming up. And the primary work that we do is public relations, and that has a lot of different aspects to it. But one of our favorite chores of of what we do is media relations, and that is at the very basics is publicizing product services and events for our clients.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So Ed, can you tell us what Van Herrick Communications does?
Van Herrick Communications is a PR firm. I started it about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. I took early retirement, did everything I wanted for 6 months, woke up one day and said, now what?
Now I'm bored.
Now I'm bored. So I started the business. It's a boutique firm. It does some work for nonprofits. It does some work for Alternate Energy, which comes straight out of other PR work I used to do. And we start with the, strategic overview, what do you want to do, who do you want to influence, and what do you want them to do for you? And then we design a program, and not surprisingly, there's a whole lot of writing involved. I was a journalist for 20 years, both editor and a reporter. I'm sure that before all of that, I had my own writing style, but after doing that for 20 years, my writing style is newspaper style.
Mm-hmm. So, fast and to the point.
Yeah.
Looking for the truth.
Yeah, cut to the chase, mm-hmm. Write it up, write it to tell and sell.
Right. So tell me what your all's book is about. I know you're writing this book together, so...
Well, actually, we are, and I was approached by Ed. Thank you very much. He had this idea in his mind, and he thought maybe it'd be a good idea to put together a media relations book. And the whole reason to do it would be to actually write a book for those audiences that really don't know a lot about media relations. And so they're going to decide maybe when they read this book, hopefully the goal is, they'll go, okay, this is something I definitely need to get into. Or, well, maybe this isn't quite for my business at this time. So that's sort of our agenda, but it really is to inform and educate. And another reason we want to do this is because we want to go out and talk to people about media relations work and what we do and how they can help their own firms.
My original thought was that you get a lot of business people who are not in communications. And at some point, say during the current very slow economy, maybe they think this is a time to go out and get some market share. Maybe they just need more clients, and they're thinking to themselves, if my business were better known, perhaps there would be people who would be drawn to me. And but what does that mean? It is hard to know how to plunge into something as complicated as media relations. to know what you should be doing, how you should be doing it. Should you hire somebody? How will you know you're getting the right person? What does success look like? You know, these are all questions that we address in the book. The book is not overly long. It is meant to give people kind of a heads up on what you can expect from this process and what you should be looking at to make sure you're getting what you think you're getting, and also expectation management. You know, it starts out with, have you ever called a reporter? You know, you call a reporter, and one, they may be very interested in hearing what you have to say. Two, they may say, I'm on deadline and can't talk now. Can you call back? Send me an email. Okay, what does all of this mean? Maybe you've talked to the wrong reporter. Maybe they hang up on you. I was a reporter for a long time, and it would not be rare for you back in the day when they sent out press kits for you to send me a press kit, for me to throw it out and call you 4 days later and ask for you to send it again. You know, that's just how disheveled most reporters are, because they're hopping from story to story to story.
Right.
So how do you plug into that in a way that's going to be meaningful for you? And, you know, it's basically meant for I guess I would say large small businesses and medium sized businesses, mm-hmm. who are just kind of shaking this up and down to see if it makes sense for them.
Well, and I think that's really powerful. I know that one of the things that I've heard over and over too is it's important to know what types of things a reporter writes and what area they write in. That sometimes people, like you were saying, they address the wrong reporter because they are sending something that's food related to the sports guy, and not really understanding that you need to be in front of the right person for them to even be interested in your story.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you want to take that?
No, maybe the food guy wants to talk about tailgating or something. You know, I mean,
right.
The sports guy or something. So, you know, you got to really be creative when it goes to reaching out to the media, and to think like the media. And I've never been a reporter like Ed, so I've never been on the other side. But I do understand, like, what does a producer need for this story? Well, if it's a television show, they're going to need visuals. They're going to need people to talk to. They're going to, you know, maybe have a little bit of press material so that they can kind of find out how they're going to, you know, explain what's going on, you know, and a little fact sheet, something quickly they can, you know, update their audiences with. So, there's so many little nuances of, you know, doing what we do. And so this book we're trying to write is to kind of explain a little bit, like, what we do. It is more an art than a science. And, you know, by doing it over the years and working and building relationships with reporters and figuring out what they know, reading and following them. And, you know, there's just a whole bunch of activity that we'd like to share with businesses. And if, you know, they realize, obviously, how much work there is to be done, you know, they might find out it is the best thing to do would be to hire somebody else.
So how do each of you anticipate this book having an impact on your business? What are you wanting from it to happen, and what kind of impact do you think it will have?
Well, I think that's, for us, at least for me, it's relatively straightforward. We put the book out. If it contains information that people want and they read it, they think of us as experts, you know, and, you know, they may want to hear us speak. They may want to talk to us about possibly hiring us. And one of the things that I would probably do is talk to them and find out if I'm really the right person for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm not, I have a whole stable of colleagues, mm-hmm. who specialize in a variety of other things, and I would be happy to link them up. You know,
exactly.
So, you know,
there's definitely industries I don't really touch that other friends do. You know, so we would like books, for example.
Right.
That's
right.
Not something I usually promote. That would be something I'd, you know, have somebody else, you know, work on.
Right. Well, and I do the same thing with my graphic design and marketing work. I, you know, have a niche of people that I work with, primarily authors that are self-publishing. But, you know, there are certainly things that I have colleagues that are better at. And so, you know, I can refer things to them and they refer things to me. So it's funny how that all can work together.
And it's also an attempt to kind of avoid disappointment. You know, somebody gets the book and they take a look at it, they have an idea of whether this is meant, if this is going to be something good for them or not. They don't come into it having no expectations or having wild expectations, or listening to a sales pitch from somebody in my industry that can't possibly be fulfilled. You know, they're going to have some basic understanding of what's possible, what's not, and how it will work for them before they ever get engaged. So it's in a sense, it almost pre-qualifies them for my industry and for the things we can offer, which means that there are going to be far fewer disappointed people as a direct result.
Which really is quite a time saver. You know, we were talking about all of us being busy entrepreneurs, and anywhere you can, you know, narrow that funnel for the types of clients that are coming to you, it's a huge advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that, Debbie, while you said you don't typically promote people's books, I know that you have had clients who have authored books that you're promoting other aspects of their business, and I would suspect that you've had the same. What kind of advantages does it give you as a promotion expert to have someone who's published a book? How does that help you in the promotion aspects?
It makes them seem much more solid. It is, I won't say it doesn't depend on the quality of the book, but the fact that they've taken the time, they've got the discipline, they've filled it up, says that this is a person of some determination, some sense of the industry. It's always a badge. It's always a badge that gives greater credibility to them and their efforts.
I would say so too. Credibility is key. You know, to have information in your book that, you know, is all about you and what your knowledge is, and you're sharing it. I mean, it's an extra something for the media to grab a hold of, and it makes it something. And I, pardon me, I think they like to link to your book. Yeah. And if it's timely and it's coming out, or it has something to do with the news that's currently going on, they're going to love to promote that book. And especially if there's like the top five keys to whatever, you know, there's going to be some kind of angle there that'll be fun to promote.
So when you're getting ready to work with a client that, you know, a book is part of their repertoire, are you able to go into them and pitch some ideas to say, okay, let's create maybe a 5 tips or a 10 tips type of thing to support the other promotion that we're doing?
Oh, yeah.
Always. Yeah. We look at every angle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, just because we may write a press release, there's like 5 million ways to pitch a reporter.
Right.
And in the, that means you're going to choose one of them for that particular reporter. So you're going to, you know, be very selective on how you pitch.
What it really does, if they have a book, is it opens up a lot of different options on how to pitch them. Because their book is going to contain a bunch of information, and every facet of that information potentially is another pitch.
Yeah, each chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So
pretty,
you know,
powerful.
Suddenly it becomes very, their appeal becomes much more multifaceted.
Well, and I know that the book that you all are working on together, you're doing collaboratively, and I know there's different styles of collaborative writing. I've written several books collaboratively where each of the co-authors, like, were responsible for a specific chapter or for, you know, a specific number of exercises. And then other people write very collaboratively where it's almost seamless in the way that it's writing. So I'd love for you all to describe how you're writing collaboratively and maybe what some challenges have been to that.
Well, what we started with was we just started writing chapters. I had...
And did you divide up topics, or just both of you just started
writing?
We did.
We kind of had some topics. We discussed, you know, what are the chapters going to look like? What are some of the, you know, topics we're going to have? And we kind of divided and conquered.
Mm-hmm. and then what we did is there's been some like starts and stops and some false starts with some of the stuff we've done. You know, we both wrote our chapters, then we kind of sent them back to each other, and then at one point we had them all in Google Docs, which proved to be far more technically challenging than we are able to deal with.
Yeah,
effectively.
Yeah, we went back to Word docs and emailing them.
Yeah, yeah. And at one point we were thinking, well, you know, we'll do sports metaphors. Yeah, we'll build sports metaphors. And so we built sports metaphors, and we looked at that and decided that was kind of strange.
That was kind of, yeah, it was kind of difficult, but I still think we can do that.
Well, we're taking a somewhat a different approach to some of that, you
okay.
know, and you know, so we've kind of extruded some of that. And speaking of graphics, we were thinking, you know, we could put little notes, you know, into the copy to kind of break it up, and we could use some of our little sports sayings there, and some of it is now integral into the book, so it's not going anywhere.
Right.
But we have this thing where we kind of go back and forth. It's like tennis, you know.
And the time thing, I mean, at first I think we thought we'd do it all in about 3 weeks. No, you know what I mean? Because we have a lot of energy. But I think we had a discussion where, like, well, maybe we should just, you know, relax a little bit on the timeline, and you know, because we really, really want it to be a good book. I mean, we want it to be perfect. And so if that, well, I know, maybe that's.
I was going to say perfect.
Maybe that's what I want.
Yeah, I rolled my eyes when I heard that one.
I know, Claire is never going to be perfect, but it's subjective, of course. But, you know, we want to be very comfortable with it because I think in the long run, it would be something we could use over many years.
Well, and there's also the other aspect, too, is this book is going to be gone over by our peers, who we see, and it had better ring true to them as well. And that's not just the information, that's the writing style, that's the presentation, because that's all part and parcel of our business. So we need to be as, you know, when that comes out, it needs to burnish our credibility with our peers as well, because they're also in the position of referring people.
Right.
And we want the book to be unique, not just like any other business media relations book that's out there.
Well, and Ed, when I first met you was several years ago when you and Debbie were co-hosting one of the small sections of PRSA, which is one of the public relations associations. And you had me come in along with several other people on a panel talking about graphic design and I talked about books. And I remember afterwards, both of you coming up to me and saying, I hadn't thought about writing a book, but now I'm thinking that maybe that's a good idea. So it's really encouraging for me to see that you're...
Well, you know, I just hope you're happy.
I am.
Look what you started.
I'm really thrilled about this. So how do you all work into your busy schedules time to write individually and then collaborate together?
That's tough. We're both very busy.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily put down a schedule like I have to do this on Friday afternoon. And if a crisis comes up, I have another backup. That's a great idea. But I think I do come up with a lot of ideas in the shower and before I go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just sort of I kind of wait till it comes to me. That's kind of how I'm approaching some of the writing. So I know it's not doesn't happen as quickly, but I am really good at deadlines. So.
Yeah, she's easily harassed.
Yeah. So like right now I'm under one. I need to put one on mine because I owe something to the process.
Well, I guess that was going to be my other question is, are you all structuring any kind of deadlines or schedule to keep each other on track?
We have done that in the beginning and we had Kim help us out.
Yeah, my wife.
Mm-hmm. And she was kind of our editor and she would look over things and put them in the place where they should be. And she'd make sure that we were going to be having our deadlines on time. And we did a good job.
Yeah. And but we, you know, it turns out that the two of us are living in our heads. We're living with this information. And to a point, other people can chime in, but only to a point. And
right.
And right now we're at the point where we're in the weeds and none dare follow.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a meeting with our spouses. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
And it was great. It was a nice, good, creative meeting. But when you look at it, it's really just our book.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's on our head, like you said.
Yeah, and we are really the ones who do this, you know. So the writing itself, you know, because of my newspaper background, I churn. Now, I may churn and look at it the next day, which I used to do as a reporter, and say, I'm embarrassed that my name's going to be on this. We are not doing this. And then I churn again, you know. And there's some of that goes on, and some of it comes out, and I look at it, and I say, I am so talented.
And isn't it nice when you have those days?
It's nice when I have those days. Of course, I never share that particular assessment with anyone else. You know, that's just my own personal pat on the back.
But see, I think we should.
I think
we should get
in the habit of
doing that. There we go. You know,
honored to be working with you.
So, Dr. Tim, do you have any suggestions for Debbie and for Ed?
I'm making all kinds of notes. I'm grateful for the way they talked about writing. First, let me say, as I did to Jennifer, butt glue. It's important, butt glue. But I like the way they approached it in that, you know, Jennifer talked about that she sets aside the times and goes at it. The two of you find the time somehow and go at it. And I want our listeners to understand that there is no one right way to write. It's what works for each of us. I'm intrigued that you've brought your spouses into the process, and I like the way you discussed it. I don't think Marta, my wife, has read most of my books. I don't know that she's read any of my books. Well, she read my writing book because she had the last edit on it. And that was good because that's when she found out that I had dedicated it to her in honor of our 20th anniversary. And that was kind of neat.
So you got some brownie points from that.
Yes, I did. But I find that it's wise to keep spouses out of the writing process because we all have a different voice and a different approach. Now, I've been listening carefully because I mentioned that Richard Kirby and I are co-authoring a book, and we're having fun. We assigned chapters to each other, and we're sending them back and forth, and we set up timelines, and we're kind of on that timeline, but we're after. We want to make sure we have the quality. One of the things I do want to lift up, you mentioned, Ed, length of the book, that length is not critical, and that's right. Length is not critical. What's critical is, do you get said what you want to have said? More and more in the marketplace today, airplane books is the terminology being used. And what that means is the book is long enough or short enough to be read from the time you take off to the time you arrive. And that's around 60 to 80 pages. And that's not a bad book if you can get one written that length. Now, I'm going to be curious to see what Jennifer has in mind for the length of her books, because there are potential for those to be long but also short. You mentioned, Debbie, that you wanted your book to be unique, and that's important. You want it to be unique, but you also want to make sure, and you all being marketers, you probably looked at this, you need to look to see what all books that deal with your topic include. And I think if you look at enough of them, you'll discover that there are probably three things that each one of those books has. So if you want to have some legitimacy up front, you've got to deal with those three things, whether you want to or not. And then you go into your unique stuff. That was a concept that was challenging me when I started writing my Writing Secrets book. But then when I went out and I looked at the various books and I found those what seemed to be three things, that was fun. I could put my own spin on it, and I did. And I echo what you've said in terms of, if you've written a book, if you're an author, that is impressive. I kind of laughed at it when my first book came out because I knew me, you know? And I said, don't let it fool you. But the other piece is, it does have to be good. And I've seen too many self-published books that I really wish I hadn't seen. And so if you're going to establish credibility by being an author, there are no shortcuts in that. You've got to have an editor. You've got to make sure the product is good. And you've got to make sure that the first paragraph is absolutely correct. And I've seen, literally in the past 6 weeks, I've seen two books that I have found mistakes, big mistakes, in the first paragraph.
Which is amazing how many people read through a book and then just mm-hmm. skim right over that. So
yeah.
It's good for them to have somebody like Dr. Tim come in and at least do that final edit to find those things. So I would love for each of you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you. Debbie, can you tell our listeners how they can find you?
Oh, sure. My phone number, 770-887-6060, and Debbie, which is Debbie, at FitzgeraldPR.com.
Excellent. So, Ed, how can folks get a hold of you?
Ed at Van Herrick Communications, and that's the tricky part. It's not the Ed part that's tricky. It's Van Herrick, V as in Victor, A-N-H-E-R-I-K communications.com. Phone number is 404-431-1798. That's my cell. Please don't call me at 2 in the morning, no matter what your emergency.
Oh, let me make a note of that right now.
You know, that's one of the things I'm always grateful for, that in my business of graphic design and marketing, you know, most people think that there are emergencies, but really it's not. Like, nobody's going to die.
Exactly.
There might be a mistake in the printing, but nobody's going to die. And so I'm grateful that I'm not a brain surgeon. So that's great. So we've got a few minutes. We're just going to open the mics and see if anybody has a comment for each other or any additional questions. Dr. Tim, did you have anything else?
Jennifer, how long do you see your books being in terms of words or pages? Are you looking at big or not so big or what?
No. I think that the leadership book will be under 100 pages. So it will be somewhere between 80 to 100 pages. So there's seven pillars. Mm-hmm. So I want them to be short, sweet, to the point, things to reflect on, things to contemplate, and then action. There will be an action step in each chapter. Uh-huh. The other book will be... it's going to be based on all of the essays from Khalil Gibran's The Prophet. So based on this is what he has written, this is my take, and this is how to apply that today. So I'll have an action. I'm an action person. So that's what will be the reflection. So there'll be a reflection item and an action item in each of those.
So it's going to be sort of like a workbook, too.
Sort of.
Or a challenge book.
You can read this book. An opportunity.
Sorry.
An opportunity.
Words are everything, aren't they?
They are. It's how to look at your life in a whole new paradigm and to apply it in that whole new paradigm.
Sure.
So, Debbie and Ed, do you all have a timeline in mind of when you're hoping to have your manuscript complete?
Hopefully by the end of the year.
Okay.
We have about somewhere between 9,000 to 10,000 words that are that are on paper that have been looked at least once by both of us. Now we need to kind of wrap that up. Then we need to take a reality check. You know, as our hostess explained, you know, does an editor beyond us? You know, I was a copy editor for 10 years, and I can be very cruel with my own stuff. But is that going to be enough? And
in a word, no.
There you have it. Yeah. There you have it from the expert.
I don't edit my own stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to see your own, to
Boy,
be objective.
Let me look at someone else's, though.
Yeah, I actually love working with other writers that will look at my work.
Yeah, I don't, you know, as much as I've written, I really am very nervous about sending anything out without somebody at least taking a second look at it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, what I like about what I've heard from all three of you is that you feel passionate about what you're writing because you see the need. You recognize that it's not necessarily totally unique, but it is your take on what things are going on, and you firmly believe that that can benefit others. And that's what writing is all about. I was talking with an individual yesterday saying, well, I wouldn't know what I'd write about because I can't come up with anything new. Well, you don't want to come up with anything new. And if you do, that's really a challenge given all the centuries the books have been out. But you take what is and add your twist to it and provide that as a springboard for other people to think. That's what I love about what you're doing, Jennifer, with the Gibran book. Obviously, it has spoken to me this morning, and I'll probably go home tonight and pull down some of my volumes and read them again. And Ed and Debbie, I have a client who's working on a social media book, and there are a whole bunch out there, other ones that are out there that I've seen, and I would say, nice try. But just listening to the two of you, yours is going to be more than just a nice try, and that's exciting. And that's what people can do. That's what people can do. Take what they're really good at and passionate about and write about that.
Well, and I think, like as you were saying, I mean, your individual perspective is so important to why this book would be interesting to somebody to read and why it would be such a great tool for bringing new clients in the door for you because they want to know your perspective, and they want to know where your expertise is coming from. So congratulations to all of you that you're doing this. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm very excited about it.
Well, I'm so glad that all of you are with us. Our clock is actually on us. It's hard to believe that it just goes so fast. But we welcome comments and suggestions from our listeners about our content and about our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Dr. Tim, for joining me in the studio today.
I did all right, didn't I?
You did. You know, we're not actually able to be in the studio together very often.
No, so we're not. And we're even going to be in a meeting this afternoon.
I know.
Whoa.
A full day of Vanessa and
yes.
Dr. Tim.
Yeah.
That's great. And Andy, thank you for co-hosting and keeping us on track and producing for us today.
You're welcome. I told you I wouldn't be back on the microphone, didn't I?
I know. All right. And here, right at the end.
wait. But I did offer it to you and you said no.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and thank you to our guests. We had Jennifer Moore and Debbie Fitzgerald and Ed Van Herrick So Jennifer, can you share your contact information again with our listeners?
You can find me at isisconsultingllc.com or my email is jennifer@isisconsultingllc.com.
Excellent. Debbie?
770-887-6060 or debbie@fitzgeraldpr.com.
Excellent. Ed?
404-431-1798. Ed@vanherickcommunications.com.
Van Herrick with K.
Van Herrick with a K and no C.
Excellent. Well, thank you all so much for being with us today. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services and how we help individuals write the book they've always wanted to write at rightchoiceservices.com. I hope you'll join us next week. Tell your friends about the show. In fact, send them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to download. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at rightherewrightnow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is going to be available later today. I am Vanessa Lowry. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business. Right here, right now.